about me and Nathan are back.
Good to see you guys. I was thinking of Jim and Lucy when I was trying to... I saw you come in and then I couldn't see you and then you're sitting at the back. So mystery solved. I know you were all just really wondering about that. Jim and Lucy Kuhn, you've been away in Peru? Was it Peru? Keeping up with you on Facebook. Good to see you. Let's have a prayer. God, this is a place of worship, and we come in here to find you. And God, we know that we don't need to come into this place to find you. You are everywhere, and you're a part of everything we do. And we know that there's nothing that can separate us from your love and your presence. But God, to come into this worship place, we come in communally. We come in together and we pray together and we remember the power of the community. We remember how important this community was to Jesus. As he didn't travel alone, he surrounded himself with people. And so God, we're here in the presence of your Holy Spirit, in the presence of your great love for us, and in the friendship of each other. Bless what we do here, that it might be according to your will, that we might be blessed through it, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to show you a parable of Jesus that's from Matthew chapter 7. Before I do that, I want to read a few words that you've heard probably several times before. These are words that you hear at weddings. And these words are going to frame what we're talking about in terms of putting it into practice. These are words of Paul that he wrote to a little tiny church in the city of Corinth. And like we've said before and spoken about before, remember that when Paul was writing letters, he wasn't writing letters to thousands of people in big cathedrals. Like this is a church that's 30, 40 years old. So he's writing letters to small communities of people. And this was a community of people in this city of Corinth. And he writes, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, it doesn't mean anything." And that means, Paul's saying, I could be the best speaker. I could be like Stephen Lewis times 10, but if I'm speaking without love, it doesn't mean anything. If I have the gift of prophecy, if I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, like Paul said, I could be the smartest dude in the whole world. I could be Bill Gates and Einstein put together. But if I don't have love, it doesn't mean anything. If I have faith that can move mountains, I believe, Jesus, in everything you say with all my heart, I can have that faith, but if I don't have love, it doesn't mean anything. I can give all I possess to the poor so that I may boast. Paul's just saying, look, some people give all they have to the poor, but then they walk in self-righteousness. Like everybody, do you know how much I gave? If I give everything I have to the poor, but don't have love, it doesn't mean anything. That frames this parable that we're going to look at in just a minute. A huge part of who Jesus is what C.S. Lewis said was from the page to the stage, meaning C.S. Lewis was a Christian writer, many of you know that, and he was also a great theater fan. So C.S. Lewis is looking at a script for a play, and it's like the script doesn't mean a whole lot until it gets to the stage, until actors can recite and people can see it, and then it means something. So at some point, the words have to move, the page has to move to the stage. And Jesus is like, all through his ministry, he's like, look, here's what I'm teaching you. Like, here's the message I want you to know. But then I really need you to apply that message. Because if the message that I give to you, you hear with your ears, but you're not applying it, it just doesn't mean that much. I could have all the faith in the world. And I can have all knowledge. But if I don't have that love, it doesn't mean anything. I had a prof at Knox College. Knox College is the Presbyterian seminary. It's on King's Circle at the University of Toronto. And so Presbyterian candidates go to Knox College. And we had a professor, Art Van Cedars was his name, died about 10 years ago. And Art used to teach us something that we just will never forget. Art would teach, if what you're teaching and preaching and speaking about in church doesn't become real in people's lives, if all of that stuff doesn't somehow become applied in a real way in the lives of the people at your church, they're not going to last 6 months. And we're like, geez, that's kind of scary. I mean, if you're talking about outreach in church all the time and there's no outreach ever happening, or if you're talking about the power of together, I spoke about the word together and how important that word together is in the New Testament a couple weeks ago. If you're speaking about together all the time in your church, but people are just constantly divided and arguing about stuff, doesn't make sense. If you're talking about how miracles happen when the love of God is shared, like we talk about all the time here, but people never see any evidence of that in your church community, at some point the teaching has to be real and it has to be put into practice. Why Jesus is so passionate about us putting it into practice, it's not just because he doesn't want to be followed by a bunch of hypocrites. It's not just that. Like, that would be kind of embarrassing if Jesus was followed by, and everybody that followed Jesus never did what he taught. More than that, it's if we put what Jesus teaches into practice, it changes the world. That's why it's so important to Jesus. It transforms communities. If we just hear, but then don't apply, it doesn't transform the world at all. Jesus talked about this transformed world. He called it the kingdom of God. He said, if you apply my teachings, the kingdom of God will come among you. And in addition to that, Jesus, and this was so important to Jesus, he said, if you apply my teachings, God will become real in your life. Have you ever wondered, how does God get real in my life? Like, how does that even happen? And Jesus is saying, look, if you want God to show up in your life, apply my teachings, put it into practice. It's simple. That was just so important to Jesus. You want to see God? Apply my teachings. I'll give you a personal example. So, the first time I really saw the biblical truth about miracles. Miracles are so filled with mystery, and we read miracle stories in the Bible where Jesus walks by somebody and they're just miraculously cured. And when we read those stories, we wonder today, how does that happen in our lives today? I've never really witnessed that. I've never really seen that happen. And I wondered about that all the time. And then I started to see that when love is shared, and this is what Jesus did, he wouldn't walk by the person that everybody else walked by. He would stop, and he would help them, and he would give them attention, and he would say, you're loved by God, and I love you. And then the healing miracle happened, and I made the connection that I had never made before, that when love is shared, miracles happened. And it helped me to understand the nature of miracles. Like, look, miracles are still filled with mystery. God can do what God can do, and sometimes people are healed even physically in ways that we can't even understand. But the broader message is that if you take care of somebody and love them, miracles of healing will surround you. And it happened all around me, but I just never made the connection. And when I made that connection, God showed up in my life in just a much more real way. I mean, when someone who is shut in is visited and cared for by someone, it makes a huge difference in their lives. And there's like a healing that happens when someone just visits a shut-in. Or if someone says to a young person, here's a way that you might want to think about your future. Like, you want this career, here's a school you can go to, I'm going to try to help you find a more direct route to a future that will be real in your life. And that young person just has changed. Because now they have hope for the future. So when this kind of love is shared, like, miracles of healing happen. Christmas hampers. I mean, I could go on and on. I'm going to list a few things at the end. When a Christmas hamper is delivered to a family, when you go down an alley, you never even knew people live back there, and there's a stairway, you go in, it's dark, and there's no lights, and you knock on a door because it's apartment 3, and that's where you're supposed to go. And a young woman with kids surrounding her legs opens it, and you just hand them all these packages from First Press Church. And she says, you just made my Christmas. Do you know what that is? That's resurrection. The first time I saw that, and the first time I understood what miracles of Jesus were really all about, God just became real in my life.
See, for Jesus, knowing that loving others changes things doesn't make any difference unless you actually get around to trying to love others. And so here's the teaching I want to show you. This is a parable. One reason I like this parable is because it's simple. Jesus told parables to his disciples, and some of them were not simple. He'd tell them a parable, and then the disciples would look at him and kind of go, huh? And then you'd have to explain them. This is not one of those parables. This is just, it's just simple. This is from Matthew chapter 7. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into, this is the word, practice, is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Hearing the word and not doing it just isn't enough. There is a perception of Christians that we hear a lot of words, but maybe don't get around to doing many of the words that we hear. I think that's a perception. I think people outside of a Christian community might have that perception of Christians. And I'll tell you something, I am preaching into the mirror on this one. Because when I get up here and I do my 20 minutes on a Sunday morning, and I do my best to convey the truth about who Jesus is to people, but you know what I'm dealing with here? I am dealing with theory, and I'm dealing with knowledge. Because I know all the passages. I went to Knox College, and I studied all that. I have the knowledge. And it is such a dangerous thing to fall into the place where you just have all the knowledge, but you're not actually getting around to doing the stuff. I'm preaching at myself on this one. I hope you believe that. If I have all knowledge, if I understand all mysteries of the universe, Paul said, but not have love, maybe Paul struggled with that too. Well, I know he did. I want to show you something Paul said in just a few minutes. And so we come into this worship place, which is good because we can find inspiration here, and there's music, and there's friends, and whatever it is that inspires you here, that's a good thing. But Jesus said, if you want God to show up in your life, you have to put these things into practice. I mean, Jesus went out into the world, as you know, and taught people. And we can just imagine someone some week saying, I've heard Jesus speak 8 times this week. I heard him speak on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, and then on Friday he did a matinee, and then he spoke again. And I heard Jesus speak 7 times this week. And my halo is just massive. Like, I'm feeling really holy. And Jesus is like, look. I'm glad that you could hear me speak. I really am. But I'm way more concerned about you doing what I'm speaking about. It's huge to Jesus. Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine puts them into practice. And Jesus is like, I want you to know every morning when you get up that your house is built on a rock. And when he's talking about a house, he's talking about everything in your life. Your finances, your family, all the things you'd like to do, all the things, I want that to be on a rock. And the only way that's going to happen is if you put what I'm teaching you into practice. It happens all the time. Pope Francis spoke about how bishops, recently he spoke about how bishops should live modestly. And then you may have seen this, it was reported I think last week that Michael Bransfield, who's a bishop of West Virginia, had spent $2.6 million over a 5-year period on jets, exclusive hotels, and limousine rides. And it's just discouraging because people see that and go, ha, see? I told you, that's what they're like, right? And Jesus says, thanks for showing up to the sermon, but if that boy ain't practicing what he'd be preaching, we got a big problem, right? And it's simple. If you're not doing any of the stuff Jesus says, it doesn't mean anything. It's not worth anything. That's what we read at weddings. If I have not the love, it doesn't mean anything. So Jesus goes on. You remember the song, Grace came down and you were saying that as a kid, remember that, man? The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on a rock. Think about nutrition. It doesn't matter how many books you read about eating well. It doesn't matter how strong your belief is in the belief that good food will be healthy if you never get around to eating it. Here's an illustration that has become a metaphor for my life. When I was in university, I think second year, doesn't matter, I lived with one other guy in a small house. And I had my half of the fridge, he had his half of the fridge. Do you remember those days when you share my half? So I had made a decision I wanted to get healthy. And so I started running. I was like 20. That's when I first started running. And I ran around the block, probably about a mile and a half. And I went to the supermarket and I bought all this healthy stuff. And my side of the fridge was just filled with greens. And it wasn't rapini and it wasn't kale because you couldn't buy those things in the early 80s. Those are recent phenomena. But it was like, I don't know what it was, spinach, it was just green stuff. And then there were carrots and there was some tofu. And then I got some fresh fish and I got some brown rice. And it was all in my fridge, ready to go, looking healthy. And that same week, Burger King came out with a coupon, 2-for-1 Whoppers. And my buddy and I, my roommate, thought, that is a deal we just cannot pass up. 2-for-1 Whoppers. And we didn't have a lot of money, so we took advantage of that, and for a whole week we ate Whoppers. And then when I opened the fridge, I discovered that everything in the fridge had turned to compost. That, to this day, remains a metaphor for me. Because it doesn't matter if you know something's good, if you don't use it, if you don't apply it into your life, it'll just turn to compost and you end up throwing it out. And Jesus said, look, I understand. I am appreciative of you hearing my words. And Jesus said something that might shock a lot of us. And it's not me saying this, it's Jesus. He's saying you could have 100% attendance on a Sunday. You could read all the books, you could go all to all the seminars and all the conferences. And if you did that without applying, you'd be a fool. Anyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And I really appreciate not having to speak to a totally empty room. But Jesus is just saying, look, if it's just all about attendance, if it's all about knowledge, if it's all about reading the books, I can have faith enough to move a mountain. Even if you, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe in everything you are, and I believe in everything that you say. And Jesus is like, if you're not in love, it doesn't mean anything. The rains came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Jesus loves you. And Jesus does not want your house to fall down with a crash. And he's just saying, look, God will show up in your life in real ways if you do this. And not only that, but the world will have a light. The kingdom will come through you putting it into practice. And I don't want that to fall with a crash. And then he finishes. When Jesus was finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. Because he taught us one way, the word. See, it's almost like people know in their heart of hearts that things have to get real. Not as their teachers of the law. The teachers of the law and the priests and the rabbis that were at the temple in Jerusalem, studied the law, and there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of laws that they knew and that they had memorized. But the heart of the law was in Leviticus, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Somehow, they got so involved in all the laws around that they forgot to do the most important thing, which is to love your neighbor as yourself. And it drove Jesus crazy. It drove Jesus so crazy that he went to the temple one day and he started flipping over the tables. And to their face, he called them hypocrites. Doesn't matter how much you know, if you're not applying the love. And it got Jesus killed, flipping over those tables. They arrested him. He went to the cross. And so the challenge of any church leadership is, first of all, to find ways so that people can hear the word, to inspire people to believe in the word, really important, but then to inspire people to find ways to apply the word.
the word.
To find ways. That's what church leadership intends to do. Inspire people to find ways to apply the word.
I leave you with this.
And you're not alone. You're not alone in the difficulty of trying to do this.
I want you to remember two things. I remind myself of this all the time. First thing, there is
a presence with you that will help you do this. When Jesus said, "I promise you the Holy Spirit," Jesus was talking to people who he assumed would go apply the teaching. And he knew how hard that would be. If there's a group of people over here that aren't even going to try, they don't really need a lot of help. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will help you and will guide you and will give you the strength of God as you go try to apply. And Jesus said, I rely on that same power. I relied on that power in the wilderness. I relied on that power when I was baptized. I relied on that power when I was in the Garden of Gethsemane and I was sweating drops like blood. Please remember the Spirit is with you and will help you. And then he said, remember this as you go out and try to apply. Remember that God is all about grace. Because we're all here, every single one of us, thinking, guilty as charged. I don't do. Oh, I should do. We're all thinking the same thing. Like, I mean, I'd order a pound of chicken wings and a side of poutine instead of the grilled salmon. So convict me. I mean, I don't do what I know that I should do. Even Paul, in his letter to this little church in Rome, Paul wrote, why do I not do the good I want to do? That's Paul talking. We're all the same. We're all guilty as charged. How many of us here are thinking as we hear this and as we hear the parable, yeah, I do about as much as I should. I give about as, in fact, I think I might even give a little too much. And you know what? I always forgive my enemies and I never hold grudges. How many of you are thinking that? Nobody thinks that way. Everybody knows how far they fall short of all this stuff. And so we remember that God is full of grace. And when Paul said, why can't I do the good I want to do? He finished with, thank God for the grace revealed in Jesus. God is not out to condemn us for our shortcomings. But the message here that Jesus wants you to know is just be aware of how important the practice of the teaching is. Because a world depends on it, your community depends on it. The light is never going to come into the world without you putting it into practice. And remember that God, that's how God shows up in your life, and that's how God gets real. Just remember, and remember the power of the Holy Spirit is always with you to help you. Because you're like, I don't know if I can do it. And the Spirit comes into your life and replaces your weakness with the strength of God. Jesus just saying, just try. And remember those three things. And to finish, I've said this before, but I'm just always so proud of this congregation. You're such a long list. You collectively have made the doing real. And I don't even just mean us. I don't even just mean this year. I mean, when you look back on the history of a congregation, there is evidence that the people in this community of faith put the things of Jesus into practice. It's just a long list, even this year, even today. There's Food Bank, Community Suppers, Christmas Hand, the Burning Bush Theater. We have kids come in who don't even go to this church, and they practice, and they're going to present next month. There's the BBC in July. We have more kids than we've had in all PA days. Julia has kids come into this church on PA days when they don't have anything else to do. We give money to Camp Care, and there's the Poppy Fund. Look, it's a long list. I understand that. And on top of that, this building that you support with what you give. This building is so much more than a Sunday morning. This building hosts all kinds of different things. We're putting it into practice here. Not even forget about the music ministry and all the people that are helped in that way. And what happened here is that we asked for God's help to do. And surprise, God showed up and helped us do it. I humbly ask you this, will you pray for two things? First of all, and this might be helpful in the sense that a lot, a lot of people sometimes don't know, first say how to pray or what to pray for. And I know I'm like that all the time. I don't know how to pray and what to pray for. So here's something to pray for. And I just humbly ask you this. Will you pray for yourself? That you will find new ways to apply teachings of Jesus in your life. Put it into practice. Simple prayer. Wait a minute. Second thing. Will you pray for this congregation that we continue to find ways to put Jesus? Will you do that? Take a minute. Take a couple of minutes. Pray for everyone here that we can continue to find ways to put Jesus into practice. And if you're not a Christian, if you're here just curious about things, or you're not really sure, what more worthy goal, even for people who don't not sure what they believe, what more worthy goal than to live your life being a doer of good things? I mean, it's a no-lose. Even if you're not even sure what you believe about Jesus, be a doer of good things. Be a help to people. Be a light to the world. So that's our prayer for this fall season, for this body of Christ, for you as an individual. We continue to do what we believe. I invite the band to come up. Oh, they're all ready.